They're topics people don't talk much about, but infertility and miscarriage are a prevalent and painful secret many families carry.
Today on Real Family Talk, we're breaking the silence as one woman shares her difficult journey to motherhood. Join us. Susan Crumwell knows firsthand what it's like to experience infertility and miscarriage. But rather than keep her difficult experience a secret, she's chosen to share her story on social media and with friends and family.
And today, we're thankful that Susan, a wife, mother, and co-host of the program Let's Pray, which airs each week on Hope Channel, is here to share her story with us. Welcome, Susan.
Thanks so much for having me, you guys. I'm really just so glad to be here.
We're so excited to have you, and you have such a powerful story about this. And so tell us a little bit about your experience with infertility and miscarriage.
Sure, sure. And although my husband's not here with me today, it really is a team sport, this whole process. Amen?
Absolutely.
And I just the statistics or the numbers, I guess. So we tried for a little while to get pregnant. They moved us because of our age, moved us straight over to infertility care after about 6 months.
And do you mind sharing what your age was
at
that time?
At that time, I was 37.
Okay.
I am 43 now. And so it's been quite a journey.
Right.
So during that time, you know, we tried a little bit. They said, okay, your age plus, you know, the time length, we'll move you right over. And at that point, they put us through three IUIs. And
tell us what IUIs are.
You got it. You got it. So three IUIs. So what I like to say is with the difference between IUI and IVF, IUI, everybody meets up inside the pool.
Okay.
Okay. Mm. In IVF, everybody meets and becomes friends outside of the pool, and then they put everybody in.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So just without being too technical, because, I mean, goodness sakes, I'm not the doctor. So we did three IUIs. They were not successful. And although I'll kind of skip over it, that was painful during that time. It was very hard. But then we moved into IVF and we did what they call a fresh cycle. So what that means quickly is that they'll stimulate the ovaries, retrieve the eggs, and then they do all the science stuff outside of the pool, and then they'll do an embryo transfer. That's a fresh cycle. From that, we produce quite a few embryos, praise God, because
we're
at my age.
We're talking about your embryos.
Mine and my husband's.
Okay.
And thank you for that specification,
yeah,
because there are so many different
ways
variations.
In which people do this, right?
And I do want to say, just right out of the gate, I am not the face for fertility and miscarriage. I represent one story. And as many people as there are, there's that many different scenarios going
Absolutely.
On. And so I just... of course, I can only speak from my frame of reference, but we did end up doing a fresh cycle, and then we froze multiple embryos, and then at that point, we transferred two frozen, we took a break, and then transferred two frozen embryos, and that produced our son, Gideon. The father blessed us with our beautiful boy. He's 3 years old now.
Wonderful, and what a great name. I love that name.
Yes, and he is our little mighty man.
But I wanted to ask, how long did it take from the time you started this process until Gideon appeared?
Multiple years.
Multiple years.
Right. And I think that's very important because... As you tell your story, we only have a few moments, so it seems like, oh, okay, this just happened.
Right.
But there was a lot of, there were many ups and downs
times
while you were
between,
going through this.
Times in between, and like I said, we were kind of blazing through the facts, but every cycle you get all that hope and all that, and then you just, and I remember every time going, okay, it's negative, and feeling like I could handle it okay, and then within about 12 hours, I would fall apart. I'd have a hard time. Of course, because there's so much involved.
So talk to us about how you managed the disappointment. Because, the whole notion of IVF or IUI brings with it so much hope for families who are looking to have a child and they've not been able to.
Yes.
And then you go through the down cycle, as you're saying, and, you would feel so disappointed. How did you manage that, and how did you handle it?
Well, and everybody handles it differently, but for me personally, These rounds before Gideon, was the father refining my responses? And so I had a very difficult time. I've been a very reactive person my whole life.
You said the father.
The father in heaven.
You're talking about
God. The father, yes. The father God. I've always been a very reactive person, lots of emotion, lots of feeling, which is perfectly fine. The Lord can handle whatever we've got. But I think throughout the process, it was a refining for me. So a sobbing.
Were you ever angry at God?
Absolutely angry.
What did you say to him?
I told him. I said, I'm so angry. And, you know, whether that's right or wrong, I know that you still love me, but I am. I'm so angry. And I remember sitting at the top of our stairs one time just sobbing. And it was one of two options. It was either the Father's close to me or he's totally abandoned me. And I was going to choose in that moment what the Word said to be true, even though I didn't feel it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. That's very powerful.
And if you're not able to choose that, no judgment here. I mean, we're just, sometimes you're just wallowing in the thing, and it's not about having a perfect response. It's not about anything. It's about just being where you are and letting the Father love you.
And the reality is that as human beings, we are human.
Yes.
And as human beings, we're imperfect. And that imperfection in our relationship to God invariably makes us question, wonder whether or not he's really there.
And he's so big. He can handle all of that. And he's like, Season, you don't have to perform for me to love you.
Absolutely.
Like, you can fall apart, sister. I love you. Don't worry,
well,
daughter.
I think what you're sharing with our viewers is the fact that even though you were disappointed with God and you were upset and you were angry, you still spoke to him.
Yes.
You kept talking to him.
Yes.
And I heard you say that this was a refining. What do you mean?
Yes.
What are you talking about?
He's always doing more than one thing at a time. And so while he's walking us through this difficult journey and then eventually does bless us with our son Gideon, he's refining me as well. Nothing passes through, everything passes through his hands that occurs in our lives. And so he's like, well, you know what? I know it's hard, but let's use this to grow.
So
let's
you're saying he's deepening your faith, maybe?
Yes.
That throughout the process, you're learning to trust him more?
Absolutely. And there was a point, and this was more recent for me, but there was a point when I had to consider the worst scenario, the worst possible outcome, because we've been trying to have a sibling for our son, Gideon. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I had to say, Father, no son, multiple miscarriages, or no sibling for our son.
Yes.
What's the worst scenario? Are you still God? Are you still enough? Are you still enough? If I never get another thing from you, is who you are and what you've done for me and where I am now in my life, is it enough?
Is it enough?
So what I'm hearing you say, Season, is that this is a spiritual experience. This is about growing in your relationship with Christ. This is about learning to trust him. And this is about also learning that sometimes we don't always get what we ask for.
1,000%. Yeah. We had two miscarriages very recently. We asked him specifically after the first miscarriage, Jesus, we're surrendered. We were transferring our very last embryo. Mm-hmm. So like, big deal.
Yeah.
Jesus, whatever you want is fine. But please, please not another miscarriage.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly what happened. What do you do?
Well,
hold that point. Although we don't talk about it much, infertility is not a new issue. Hannah, Sarah, and Rebecca are three biblical women who experience infertility. After a short break, we'll hear more from Season. Stay with us. In a recent article in the Columbia Union Visitor magazine, Season Cromwell is quoted as calling infertility and miscarriage one of the biggest clubs nobody wants to be a part of.
That may be because 50 million couples globally will face infertility this year, and an estimated 1 in 4 pregnancies will end in miscarriage in the first trimester. Wow, what an amazing story, Season.
Praise God.
And the question I have for you is, this happens to so many people, and yet there are always questions.
Always.
Why me? Why us? And why is that?
You know, before I jump into a personal response, I quickly just am looking around the fertility clinic in my mind, mm-hmm. seeing that it is no respecter of persons, race, creed, color, sex, anything. The folks that are sitting next to me for their appointments in the mornings and their monitoring and their blood draws from everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it really just is not something that one type of person, or maybe somebody who eats this way or doesn't eat this way or has done this or hasn't done this, it's really just... It's so hard, and there's so much stigma around it, like you said.
Yes.
A lot of times other people's opinions can be a very heavy layer over the top of a struggle that we're already going through. In faith communities, sometimes it becomes an issue of, you know, opinions about whether it's right or wrong to receive the assistive technologies. Yeah. And that's each person's journey. I have no shame there, you know?
Right. Whether or not God is punishing you or God
there are a lot of
or a lack of faith. You just don't have enough faith. And I'll be straight with you. For some people, choosing not to participate in assistive fertility treatments is a faith walk for them. And that's exactly where the Lord has them. But for my husband and I, participating in the treatments was our faith walk.
Okay.
And so everybody's different in this journey. And it's just, I mean, who's to say?
Yes. So what I'm hearing you say, Season, is that this is personal.
It is.
And it has everything to do with your relationship with God.
Yes.
And what God is leading you to do.
Individually.
Yes, because the fact that he's leading you one way may not be that he's leading somebody else the same way.
That is the truth. You know, just real quick, I can rattle off a couple different scenarios. A girlfriend of mine cannot handle, because of the migraines and such, cannot handle the hormones. Yeah. She cannot use and will not use assistive treatments. I have a girlfriend of mine who's on a lot of medication because of immunological diseases, multiple that she has, and produces the most beautiful, healthy babies you've ever seen with assistive technologies. I have another girl, healthy as a horse. And these are just my girlfriends that are in my immediate circle, not to mention...
And you're talking about all these individuals are having fertility issues.
Yeah, or not. Yes, they're all dealing with fertility issues of some kind. You know, I was recently in Montana. I had the opportunity to speak to some wonderful people, and I mentioned my miscarriages and such, and there were 15 or 20 women standing there to talk to me with tears in their eyes who had experienced miscarriages, not even fertility issues, but miscarriages alone.
Yeah.
Two of them were pastors' wives.
Wow. Yeah. So okay, more often than not, it's happening.
It's amazing how many people are going through it, and it's funny that you say it's a club nobody wants to be in.
That's the truth.
And so many people are in it, but they don't know other people are sharing this journey with them.
Yes.
We ourselves have had an issue with miscarriages. We have we've had four pregnancies and two births.
And I've seen you post, and there's such an encouragement to me personally,
so
your posts
are. I was so that so many people responded in
that
the way that they did.
Yes.
It really threw me, but it reminded me and it alerted me to the fact that so many people are dealing with this issue. And so we're so happy that you're sharing your story.
Praise God.
What is really powerful about your story is your story of faith, that this is beyond just having a baby. That's what we're hearing.
That's
correct. This is you turning to God and saying, God, what do you want from me? So I really want to hear a little bit more about your faith and how you perceive this faith, even in the midst of having this third miscarriage.
Yes. You know, it's just hard. Yeah. Number one. So if you don't have the quote unquote right response, please take it easy on yourself. Please. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Because I'll tell you, with Gideon in that first set of, I wasn't sharing. I was having a terrible time with this process. I was not handling it well.
So there's been a growth with you.
There has been. And so now that I've had the experience, the Lord's enabled me, and let's be clear, it's him enabling me to share these things, to provide community for others. And somebody had asked me, Season, should everybody share the way you do? No.
Right.
No.
Right.
Praise
People
Jesus,
to
he's
know
told
that.
Me
it's a personal
to.
Ministry. Yeah.
I'm obedient to what he's asked me to share.
Yes.
And you know what? Praise God. Maybe you won't have to, because we've kind of linked arms together and we're a community now.
Yeah.
And maybe that'll lift the burden for you.
Right.
And you know, folks will see it and be like, oh, too much information, Season. And praise God, then it's not for you, sweetheart.
It's not for you.
Right.
I love you.
Yes.
But just scroll on, sweetie.
Yeah.
speaking about community, in the Visitor magazine, you mentioned Paul's words in the book of Galatians, I believe it's chapter 6, where he says, bear one another's burdens.
And thus fulfill the law of Christ.
Thus fulfill the law of Christ.
Amen.
And this is what I'm hearing you say. that you're sharing because you are trying to bear one another's burdens. You're trying to be faithful to what the Word of God is saying and help others to understand they're not the only ones that are going through this.
Amen. Yes. I mean, it just so that people know that they're not alone.
Yes.
And whether they share or don't share, that's totally fine. I'm communicating with a woman who is in a very faraway foreign country right now who's going through fertility as well. I'm receiving private messages. I'm receiving other people's stories. I mean, and it's just such a joy to know that we're out there and we're together, although our stories are different. We're together.
But there's something very powerful that also happens when you share your story. And again, not everyone needs to share. Mm-hmm. But what it does is it takes the silence away from it. And it also removes some of the shame.
Praise God.
Because there's so much shame for us as women. Unfortunately, in many societies, including in the West, mm-hmm. if you are not able to have a baby, there is a huge stigma.
Yes.
And so it comes to us as shame as women who want to have children.
My body's not working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to mention the fact.
And you mentioned some of the myths that are out there, and we probably should highlight a few more of those.
Well, there are a lot of things that I think are that I did that I feel like might have been helpful. I wore socks on my feet all the time. They say that a warm feet is a warm rest of the body. And so that makes it a nice cozy environment. But I'll tell you, if they'd told me to hop on one leg and braid my hair out like this on one side, I'd have done it.
Right.
Because we're just doing everything.
Yeah.
I did as much as going into MTHFR gene mutation research online. And
tell us what that means.
It's the methyl tetrahydrofolate. Folate. Okay, Jesus.
We get it. We get it. Gene mutation.
Basically, it has something to do with like a cell division in the body and the process of, you know, cleansing, et cetera. So folks that have an MTHFR gene mutation do have a difficult time conceiving or maintaining once they have conceived.
Okay.
But, you know, honestly, my specialist knew about all that.
Yes.
They knew. I didn't need to. And when we're telling other people there's all these things that you should be doing, for somebody, you don't know who you're speaking into. For somebody, maybe they've been doing so much that their job, the Lord actually wants them to relax a little.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, so somebody's saying, Season, you should be doing this, and you should be, and what are you eating? Are you eating dairy or not eating dairy? Are you a paleo, a vegan, a pegan, keto? Are you, I mean, just.
And you're saying, turn back to Jesus.
He will guide you.
Well, we're talking about infertility and miscarriage today. In a moment, we'll learn more about Season's journey and why she still has hope. Stay with us.
Season Cromwell and her husband want to have a sibling for their son, Gideon, mm-hmm. but are hampered by infertility and miscarriage. She's talking about it today in hopes that it will help others facing a similar journey.
Mm. So, Season, we're so impacted by what you're saying. And as I'm listening to what you're talking about and mention the fact that you're trying to, for a sibling for mm-hmm. Gideon, you're in the middle of that.
Yes, we are.
And
in the midst.
Yeah.
So
what has happened?
So since, you know, we've talked about the fact that we use fertility treatments to get pregnant in the first place, we had embryos, we had one pregnancy that didn't, or one one embryo transfer that did not work. We transferred two, the second one, two as well. I did get pregnant, but we had a miscarriage.
Well, sorry.
It's very difficult, but I praise God that I had a counselor and I had someone to talk to. And of course, my husband's been a wonderful support.
Praise God for a good husband.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. And then of course, he's going through this as well.
Of course,
let's not forget
yes.
that.
Of course. That's right.
He copes very differently.
Yes.
Praise Jesus that we're opposites because then we, you know, the Lord helps us to
help
fill in.
Balance each other
yes.
out.
Yes. But this, so we asked the Father, Lord, please, not another miscarriage. We're surrendered to your will. And it happened identically, another miscarriage. So that was very recently.
And
I'm so sorry about that.
Thank you very much.
How do you deal with that? What does it say to you? What does it do to your faith? And how do you respond? What has it been like?
I've responded differently than I have in the past. Mm-hmm. So the Father has shown me that I am capable.
Amen.
However, it has been extremely difficult. The first miscarriage, I was able to move through surprisingly well. So I praised Jesus for that.
Praise God for that.
In comparison to the old season. But this second one, I think because it was our final embryo, our very last one, our numbers looked good, and then the miscarriage occurred in the same pattern. It was really hard and still is. Yeah. So sitting with you guys, this is really an opportunity. It's part of my healing journey, yes. Honestly.
Well, we thank you for sharing with us, especially having had a miscarriage so recently.
Yes, yes. I got to tell you, I really feel like somebody needs to hear this, and there's no consolation, okay? Because Jesus doesn't give consolations, he gives better. Okay. But a no here, if you're going through something like this and you've experienced a no, or you, like women, so many women have had way more miscarriages than I have. If it's a no here, then it's an amazing yes here. Okay, I don't know if that's a child. Yeah. I don't know if it's something that you never even knew or you could ever expect because it's above and beyond what we can comprehend. That's our Jesus. Right. I don't know what that is for you because we're all individuals.
Right.
But this here, he's not a God of lack. If it's no here, it's child, I have more. Not I have less and I'll give you a consolation life. It's more here. Yeah. And so when Jesus says no or not yet for some of you, it's yes here and yes, abundant life. Yes, I'm a God of abundance and more and not less. Yes. He didn't die to give us less.
Yeah. So are you saying that in the midst of your pain and your hurt and now healing,
yes,
you're seeing future blessings or current blessings?
Like this. And everybody's journey is different, but I feel like as soon as my physical strength returned after this last miscarriage, the Father has had me running, and not in a bad time management way, but just in a, Jesus is calling me to do things. I've had opportunities to minister through prayer to folks at the Montana camp meeting. The Lord has provided a speaking opportunity somewhere where I never thought I'd be able to go. And what a blessing and an honor it's going to be. I have the opportunity to sit with you guys. And I have to tell you, I could line up all the pain and line up the journey and the story because this is only one part of it. And we could look at that and sob over it. Yes, yeah. Some of it's appropriate to sob over those things.
Yes.
But when I stand back and look at it now, it's because of those things in my life. Jesus is so sneaky.
That's incredible.
I have the opportunity to sit here, not because
powerful.
I've done it right, yeah. Not because I have the right attitude, not because I'm doing anything myself, but because Jesus, he has a plan. Yeah. And the word says in 1 Peter 5:10, after you have suffered a little while,
yes.
I'm going to send somebody. He himself.
Yes, indeed.
Him will perfect, establish, and strengthen you. Yes. And he is making good on his promise in my life.
So I'm hearing you say, Season, that all of this experience has come to make your faith stronger.
So much.
And to help you grow.
Revolutionary. Yes. Without this journey, it's knit my husband and I together in ways that we never knew was possible. Praise Jesus for my husband.
Because you're praying about these
things. Yes, we're praying, and then we're both, even when we're not doing it right for each other,
yeah.
We're learning in that, and then we're able to come together and figure it out and have conversations and depth. There's a depth in our relationship that we would have not had previously.
Turning towards each other and you're going through this together.
Yes.
And that's very important
because these
challenges and these traumas can actually separate couples.
Absolutely.
And so how powerful that you are turning to Jesus and you're turning towards each other. That's mm-hmm. very critical.
I also have a counselor that I see personally.
That's
not
also
couples,
very important.
My own counselor,
yes.
Because
yes.
I need to learn more about healthy boundaries. I need to learn more about expressing what my needs are.
Yeah.
In this time, there's so much. And if I could change anything from the first rounds of IVF to the second rounds, I would say I'd get a counselor earlier.
Mm. Yes. And you know what? Many times, especially in the faith community, there is a sense that if you have to go to a counselor, that there's something wrong.
No.
Because God should take care of all of it. But if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it speaks about the gifts of the Spirit.
Yes.
And one of those gifts is the gift of help.
Amen.
That's counseling. These are gifts that God has left in the church for the building up of the believers, of the body of Christ.
Edify.
So if you go there, that's God providing another opportunity for you to connect with gifts that he's left for the body of Christ so we can grow in our relationship with him.
Absolutely.
And to learn how to depend on him.
Amen.
And not only move on what we're thinking we want for ourselves, but what is it that God really wants for us? And what is it that he wants to teach us?
Amen. Yeah. Amen. So, and it's quite a burden,
yeah.
you know, and I don't think my husband should have to carry all of that for me.
Absolutely.
Although his desire is to yeah. serve and to love. But the counselor gives me an advocate. Honestly, it's not that I'm broken or need fixing. I need somebody who's on my yeah. side, who's my advocate.
Yeah. So we only have about 30 seconds mm-hmm. left. If you have any counsel for someone else that's going through this, what would you say to them?
Please give yourself mercy and grace seek somebody to talk to. Please find somebody to talk to who understands the process. And just know that Jesus has you.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much. Season, you have been an awesome guest. We thank you for being with us today. And thanks to our viewers for watching Real Family Talk. We'll see you next time.